Romans chapter 1, we'll read the same verses that we read this morning. We'll start at verse 28, and then we'll read down to verse 31. Verse 30 is obviously our text verse, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I know this truth. I know it affects every person. I want it to be a help. Lord, please, the reminder of I must decrease so you can increase. Lord, so you can be lifted up and magnified in my life. Lord, please, help us. We need your help. We need your strength and your touch. And Lord, open our eyes and please help us as your people. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw this morning, we learned about just one word, pride. And it says here in verse 21, they became vain in their imaginations. They became nothing in their thinking. When you take God out of your mind and thoughts, you're left with nothing. That's what the Bible says. Just vanity, things that don't matter. God is what gives our life purpose. God is what keeps me focused on why I'm here. Why do I exist? And people say, oh, I just can't find myself. And I just need to... If you would follow the Lord, you get purpose in your life. You don't get... Okay, purposeless does what? It leads to depression. Well, I'm just existing until... Nobody should exist until they die. Life comes from God, and God is supposed to be our life. You can justify the substitution of God all you want, but wherever God is removed, you have nothing. The world, I told you this morning, they think you don't need God to have morality. Yet as Christianity is fading in America, they polled 24 top industrialized nations of the world. This is what they asked. In your industrialized country, you've got money, factories, mechanization, all of this, automobiles. Who is the most discontent out of all 24 what you call industrialized countries in the world? Guess who came in last as the most discontent people in the world? America. That shows the more you have, if you don't handle it right, you'll forget God, you'll lose your purpose, and things don't bring satisfaction. Money does not bring happiness as much as people say, well, you just let me win the lottery once. I'll prove that wrong. You'll fall into the statistics of everybody else. That's because we all think we're the exception to the rule. Well, I know it's hurt others, but it wouldn't hurt me, you know. You can't be happy without God. And Romans chapter 1 points to that. Now verse 28 says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So this is people determining that they don't want anything to do with God. When anybody gives up on God, only then does God give up on them. That's our definition of a reprobate. And then they get a reprobate mind, and all the conditions that we read about, what they're full of, begins. They begin to be full of those things. God gives us those traits, and in verse 30, we read backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Pride. This is because we learned this morning pride comes from our heart. It's within us. It's a part of us. It's deeply rooted. None of us have to work at being proud. It's already there. Our pride is a major part of our sin nature. Pride affects those that are serving God as much as those that are living for self and the devil. It doesn't matter whether you're lost or saved. It helps if you're saved, but whether you're saved or lost, you still struggle with pride. It is still a monster. We saw in the Bible that there's pride in appearance, Job 41. There's pride of glory, Isaiah 23. There's pride among drunkards who can drink the most, Isaiah 28. People get proud because of their position in life and what they've been allowed to enjoy. There's pride of power, Ezekiel 30. There's pride of walk. There's pride of heart, Obadiah, verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Since pride is on the inside, pride is on the outside, it's all around each one of us. Learning to deal with it the way God wants us to deal with pride is very important because it is such a huge topic. Take your Bible and go now to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And look at verse 16. If you love God, then you can't love things he hates. If you love God and you know something offends God, then your love for God should make you want to consider that. You wouldn't want him to deal with it. So Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So seven is God's number of perfection. Watch this. The first thing that God says he hates is a proud look. A proud look. Then watch this. A lying tongue. God hates lying. Hands that shed innocent blood. Anytime you see innocent blood in your Bible, it normally deals with the death of children or abortions from front to back. So God hates how we kill babies here in America. 63 million since 1973. God hates that. Watch this. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Christian's supposed to watch what he meditates on and thinks about. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. God hates. Isn't that interesting? A lying tongue and a false witness. Two things that deal with lying God hates. Then notice the last thing. And he that soweth discord among brethren. There's only one way you can define discord among brethren, and that's people who split churches. Pride manifests itself, and I'm going to declare what I think is right in my opinion, and I don't care who it hurts. God doesn't say he hates it when brethren are divided. He said he hates the person that sows discord among brethren. Every once in a while in your Bible, well, God doesn't hate people, God hates sin. Every once in a while, you'll find where God says, I don't just hate the sin, I hate the person that does that. That's why when it's important as a Christian to understand, if God hates that, then I should be able to recognize it. You can find people that, I mean, it's like they're professional critics. And they know just how to sow discord. Well, I didn't like that. Did you like what the pastor said? You have to learn how church splitters work. And when you recognize them, you can't change them. You just stay away from them. Right? God hates he that soweth discord among brethren. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Go to chapter 8. You're in chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Ready? We're looking at pride tonight, but we won't touch the hem of the garment. There's so much more. You could do a lot with a concordance in your Bible. Just look up the word pride, proud, proudly. It's in there hundreds of times. Okay, watch this. Proverbs 8, 13. Watch this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Not sin, evil. Evil is things that hurt people. It's a sin when you smoke a cigarette. It's evil when you encourage somebody else to smoke. That's evil. It's sin when you tell a lie. It's evil when you lead somebody else to tell a lie. You're hurting them. That's getting them to sin so that it hurts them. That's evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then God defines, He's going to define evil a little bit. He's going to give us some parameters here. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth or perverse mouth do I hate. Now, as a Christian, as a child of God, I always run into problems when I try to love God and just dislike sin. You know, when you change in the Christian life is when you hate your sin. But if your sin is, you know, yeah, it's bad, and yeah, I wish I wasn't do that, you don't change. You change, I change, when you get sick of your sin. And when you start to hate it, that's when you change. Your attitude towards sin determines how you deal with it. But as you learn God's Word, you discover that you can't love God and be neutral or casual about sin. So as you learn to love God, you learn that you have to hate sin because it hinders your love for God. In typical American Christianity, it's not popular to have a negative, critical view of sin. But God tells us that if you fear the Lord, you hate pride. You hate it. You don't deny it. You don't excuse it. You don't ignore it. God teaches us that the proper attitude towards pride is to hate it. And think about it. If everything in heaven praises God, then anything that is giving me the praise because I want it is not godly. Right? I'm going to just come to some conclusions. That's Proverbs 8. Go to Psalm 40. We'll flip back and forth a little bit from Psalm to Proverbs. Go to Psalm, just back one book. Psalm 40. Look at verse 2. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. Watch this. Psalm 40, verse 2. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and watch, and respecteth not the proud, nor as such turn aside to lies. God says, you bring a blessing on your life when your attitude towards pride is the way God wants it to be. And God says, when you lose respect or don't respect the proud, you bring a blessing on yourself. God blesses that. Here we go. Think about it. God teaches us to love our neighbor as ourself. God teaches us to treat everybody the way we want to be treated, not how they treat us. If we're not careful, the golden rule is taught so little, people actually think, well, I treat people the way they treat me. That's not the golden rule. The golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated. Right? But God tells me not to respect the proud, haughty people and those that are dishonest. As you learn to trust the Lord, those who are stuck on themselves and have big egos become a repulsive, nauseating mess to a Christian that loves God. Right? Psalm 40, verse 2. Don't respect the proud. Watch this. Go to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65 is just a little past Proverbs. Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 65. Look at verse 2. Neat verse. Very helpful here. God says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. He's talking about Israel. That sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh. Is a Jew supposed to eat pork? No. He said, but they do what they want to do. He said, they eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things as in their vessels. And then notice their attitude towards other people. Look at verse 5. Which say, stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You stay over there. Don't get near me. I'm better than you. I'm holier than you. Look what God says about that. He said, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. When a Christian has the attitude, he's talking about his people Israel, when a Christian has the attitude, I'm better than you, God says, it's like being around somebody that smokes. It's like, it stinks, I can't breathe. Get away from, your attitude stinks. You're so repulsive. God says, I don't want to be around. Now, aren't you glad God doesn't leave you when you get saved? But a Christian can have an attitude to where God goes, oh, you smell. You oh, my goodness, your pride is awful. What do you mean somebody's, you're better than somebody else? Oh, it stinks. Everybody see that? It's a smoke in my nose. Wow, what an illustration. God gets right to the point. That's his attitude towards pride. That's why I don't want to be repulsive towards God. Anytime I say, yep, look at me. Anytime I say, I'm better than somebody else. That's why I don't care what other churches do. I'm not in competition with other churches. I could care less. Well, did you know what this one church did? Did you know what this one church? I don't care. I don't care what they do. If they need help, I want to be a help to everybody, but I don't care what others do. I care what I do. I want to watch me. I do not want to be repulsive to God as his child because my attitude is proud and arrogant. Take your Bible and go back to Psalm 101. Studying this topic is, I think, it's just very helpful. It's a nice reset button. It's a watershed. It reminds me, oh yeah, stay humble. Nobody's too humble. You understand? But we all struggle with pride. We're not supposed to give respect to sports heroes or the actors and hypocrites of Hollywood. We're supposed to be excited and thrilled about Jesus. But our culture trains us to give respect to proud people, which only increases their pride. Sometimes you'll see announcements on, when the news stuff comes up. These actors who are the hardest to work with in Hollywood. In other words, they have a guise of being nice, but they're just nasty people. They're just... sometimes I don't read the whole article, but sometimes I'll glance at it. And they'll say, there are some actors that they're just so stuck on themselves. By the time they're end filming or whatever they're doing, everybody on the set can't wait till it's over. They're just nasty, filthy people. And so, but our society feeds us on that. You're in Psalm 101. Look at verse 1. Ready? I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So here's a happy Christian. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. What a verse to put at your TV, amen. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily, watch this, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Watch. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. I think having the right heroes is so important. None of us, okay, I don't worship anybody, but I thank God for the people God put in my life that have been an example to me and helped me with my soul winning and me going to church and me learning to, there's people that have been a blessing and an encouragement. I thank God for those people. I don't want to idolize the world. they have nothing. What was it that was just on the news last week? Britney Spears is suing her parents. I heard this on Fox News. Okay, so this is, I don't tune into Britney Spears. But I'll never forget when her chewing gum went for $40,000. This was like, everybody remember that? It was like 10 years ago. Britney Spears chewed some bubble gum, and then they sold it, they auctioned it off, and it went for $40,000. Oh, that's can you imagine? Somebody had more brains than money. Excuse me, more money than brains. They had more brain, more money than brains. That's insane. That's insane. I want the right heroes. What are the Kardashians doing? They're wicked people. I don't care. Lives of the rich and famous. They live without God. Not one of them say, look what God gave me. Not one of them. They're all proud, arrogant. I don't know how else to say it. I don't want anything to do with them. Don't you want their car? I don't want anything. Happiness comes from the Lord. I want the right heroes. God says, him that hath a high look, he's going to cut off. It's fun to fellowship and rejoice with Christians like this psalm shows us. It's fun to have a good time in church because we all enjoy the fact that God could actually love and die for sinners like us. Right? That's our focal point. But what destroys the sweet spirit in a church is someone who's proud and thinks they're better than everybody else. If all of us know who we are before God, we all get along just fine. It's when we start feeling we're better than somebody else that the strife begins and the conflict begins. We got to keep ourselves in check. In God's eyes, humility will help us get along with everybody. I can take anything as long as I'm humble. It's when I get proud that I bristle back. In God's, and watch this, being humble doesn't mean you're a stepping mat and people wipe their shoes on you. It doesn't mean I don't respect myself. It just means I watch my attitude towards other people. I don't want to think I'm better than anybody because I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. Now, you know, funny, in the Catholic area, the thing I get called most is, you know, when I say, yeah, I'm a pastor of Gospel Light, but, oh, Father. No, not Father. That's where you go to church. He's a father that dresses like a mother. Wears a dress. I don't mind somebody respecting church, but I'm not better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. In God's eyes, you shouldn't be in competition with anybody, and you shouldn't dare compare yourself with anybody because you're supposed to be trying to be like the Lord Jesus, not better than somebody else. If all the good they can be is here, this high. Jesus is high and holy. He's up here. And you set your goals to be better than somebody else who's only here? You lose. Anytime you compare yourself with somebody else, I should be wanting to be like Jesus. As long as you're working at it, and as long as I'm working at it, it's wonderful. It's nice. It's a sweet spirit. It's when I quit working on myself that we have problems. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 32. Proverbs 10 and look at verse 32. It says, when pride cometh, Proverbs 10:32, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Good things happen and is the fruit when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But when I'm filled with pride, shame is the result. I don't want to bring forth shame and disgrace and disgust because of my pride. Christian, that applies to all of us. The proud always eventually learn that they shouldn't have been so proud. Every Christian I've ever talked with that gets right with God always says, my hardest times are when I thought I could do it without God. When I got proud and said, it's all about me, and look what I did, and notice me, that's when I fell. Every Christian. Every Christian. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13. You're in chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 10. Boy, I wish you... This is an easy verse to memorize, but boy, what a signal. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. God didn't say by pride comes contention. God said only by pride cometh contention. There's only one reason two people can't get along. Well, no, you don't know what they did. There's only one reason two people can't let it go and keep bickering and griping and fighting. Pride. Only by pride. We used to teach that to our kids. Knock off the bickering. For the fight to stop, somebody has to humble themselves and say, I'm done. Not, I'll get the last word in. Yeah, you just feed it. You just keep it going. Just keep it going. Only by pride comes contention. Very important verse. Listen to me. Anytime I can't get along with someone, it's only because of pride. Anytime I hold a grudge or won't patch things up with somebody, it is only because of my pride. Anytime I can't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, is because of my pride. Only. Well, no, they owe me money. They did this. They said, only by pride cometh contention. What a verse. Only by pride. It helps me evaluate things. The only reason I argue and have to have the last word is so I can prove I'm right. Proud people can't get along with anybody. They only like people that agree with them. And until you walk humbly with your God, you can't care about anybody but you. Right? Only by pride cometh contention. What a wonderful verse to meditate on. You're in Proverbs chapter 13. Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Now this is a verse that it looks like it says the same thing, just in a different way. God definitely wants us to think about this. Proverbs 28 verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. The righteous are made fat. Those that trust the Lord are fat. Some of you skinny people, you're not right with God. That's a joke. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So, proud, have you noticed there are some people? My grandpa, I tried to witness to him, my grandpa Nash, and I hope, of course, I hope everybody's saved, but from everything that I can tell, my grandpa Nash died and went to hell. My grandma used to say, he seems like he is only happy when he is bickering and griping. When I was growing up, it was just my sister and I, and, you know, when grandpa would say, you want to go to town? We'd get in the pickup, and I'm not kidding you. It was 15 minutes into Wichita, and I mean, my grandpa, he was just constantly contentious. I mean, here I'm, I remember I'm like 11 years old, and he had a V8 in every vehicle, the biggest engine he could put, right? Because nobody drove in front of him. The moment anybody'd get in front, he'd go, what? And I mean, it was that way constantly. I mean, we'd come to a stoplight, and people would turn, and I mean, he was pointing everybody to Jesus, like this, and then he'd turn. And I remember my sister and I just going, whoa. We'd get back to the house, and we didn't want to go with town to go to Grandpa for another year. My grandpa seemed to be one of those people. It's like he was only happy when he was grumpy because he was grumpy so much. Honestly, our family reunions were really wonderful. Except for my grandpa. he was just a booger. Proverbs chapter 14. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse 3. It says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. When you're proud, God says, you hurt others with your words because in your mouth is a rod of pride that whips other people. You should learn to not have fun at other people's expense. Every boy has to learn that because everybody likes to joke around, right? I had to learn it. I used to make fun of my sister till she cried. Then my dad said, if you don't stop it, you're going to hurt your marriage. Knock it off. Every boy needs to be told that. Amen? That's just part of growing up. All right? That boys will be boys. When my sister got her driver's license, I was like, can I go with you? Once again, pulled in. I was 17. She was 16. She just got her license. She was bawling. I don't want to drive with him again. I was like, oh, break. Oh, no. You know, I like this. Okay. You know what I had to learn as a Christian? Not to have fun at other people's expense. That's learned. And my dad used to say, it's only truly funny when everybody's laughing, not when you're laughing. And if everybody's not having fun, it's not good fun. You're hurting somebody. You need to learn to control your mouth. Amen? In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. You whip others with your words, and you don't think, well, I'm having a good time. Everybody should be having a good time. Is everybody laughing? Or did you help everybody laugh at one person? I've learned the best jokes are normally the ones where I laugh at myself. It's best if I make fun of me, not other people. Right? That's learned. That's learned. I don't want my mouth to have a rod of pride. When somebody thinks they're superior to everybody else, they lash out at people who don't recognize their superiority, then it hurts. If we would praise God and thank God more, we'd have less opportunity to say hurtful things to people. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 119. I'm telling you, neighbor, we're just hitting the hem of the garment. There's so much, but we'll leave so much untouched tonight. Psalm 119, verse 69. Psalm 119, and then look at verse 69 and 70. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You ever heard this verse? This is where we get the term, they're just a big fat liar. That's where we get it from the Bible. Their heart's fat as grease. The proud have forged a lie. You know what it takes to forge? You have to put it into the kiln. You have to wait for it to get red hot. And if you truly forge something, you pull it out, you put it on the anvil, and then you put a lot of work into it to make it the shape, whether we would do hooks or whatever it is you're making. To forge a lie is to craft it and put time into it and articulate it and make it specific for that. They forged lies against me because they're proud. When someone criticizes and lies and gossips, they're a big fat liar. When people leave a church, they forge lies because they would be embarrassed to tell you the real reason they're leaving. It doesn't play into the narrative of their great spirituality that they want everybody to see. Very few people tell the whole story when asked about a conflict or squabble. You'll notice this because all of us have a self-protection mode, right? So when it comes to the conflict, I only tell the part of the story that's my side. And I've learned as a pastor, every side has two stories. Now, it would help sometimes when I talk to conflicting people. Sometimes you can talk and it's like, do these people even know each other? The story is so different. But they forge lies. Telling a lie never makes anything better because the father of all lies is the devil. You're in Psalm 119, verse 70. Go to verse 84. Ready? How many, Psalm 119, verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment upon them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. So proud people like to see people who are trying to live right fail. Listen closely. They want you to enjoy sin like they do because it makes them feel good about their sin. When you try to live right, proud people watch you closely and they hope you blow it. I hope you, that's why I think faithfulness to church is so important. Your neighbors watch you. And when you're not faithful, they're like, I knew it. Right? They love it when a Christian fails. Well, they're not. They're not faithful. What? Now I ain't going to church either. Now I'm just using that one as an instance. Proud people laugh at standards and convictions because they don't have them. So if you are impure, they laugh at you. They don't encourage you to keep your purity till you're married. If you haven't seen the latest sewage out of Hollywood, they laugh at you because they have seen the latest sewage out of Hollywood. If you don't cuss, they make fun of you because it's convicting when you don't cuss and laugh at their filthy jokes. Satan is king over all the children of pride, and if the world had its way, they would love to see every preacher of the gospel go down and there be no more churches. They love stories of churches falling apart and any pastor that blows it. That's how come when you mention King David, greatest king in Israel. What is it? You mention it to the world? Oh, that's the guy that slept with Bathsheba. That's because they like the filth. They don't know about the Psalms he penned. They don't know that he was a man after God's own heart. They like his falling, his failure. The proud, they have digged pits for people. You're in Psalm 119, go to Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Look, anytime you hear about a church struggling, you know the devil's having a heyday in that church. I've heard of churches struggling. I don't rejoice at it. Yay, there's another one. And I've told people, I was like, I'd be real careful about what you get happy about. But a church going down the tubes because the pastor blew it, the devil's rejoicing. I don't want to be in that crowd that's rejoicing. It should break our hearts, right? It should frustrate us. But it's nothing I should be like. I shouldn't be in that much of a competition with a church that I'm glad if it dies. We don't have too much of anything. We need more churches. Amen. We don't need less. Look at Psalm 140. Look at verse 1. Ready? Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the... Notice the attitude of this child of God. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they're gathered together for war. Dear God, deliver me from these people. Look at verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. Notice verse 5. The proud have hid a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Lord, please deliver me from that. You understand the attitude is, dear God, I'm just as capable of hating and fighting and bickering and being proud as anybody. Dear God, deliver me from that. Please. God, my heart is so prone to hold a grudge. Please help me. You see the prayer? Let me show you another one. You're in Psalm 140. Go to Psalm 36. Go to Psalm 36. We're in the book of Psalms. Just a few more verses here. If I'm going to handle my pride correctly, I find in the Bible asking God to help me with my pride. What Jesus tell the man? He said, if you believe, all things are possible. And what the Father cry out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but could you help my unbelief? I don't have enough faith to do nothing, God. Please help me. It's the ability to cry out to God, I don't have what it takes. Look at Psalm 36. Watch this. Look at verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright of heart. Watch verse 7, it ought to be marked in your Bible. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Pride destroys every person who lets it control their life. And the prayer in the Bible twice, Psalm 140 and Psalm 36, says, Dear God, I just think it's funny. In the Bible, if I let pride affect me and destroy me, God calls it the foot of pride. You ever seen somebody kick themselves? Oop! Okay? It's like you caused the problem because you got out of control. And he's praying, Lord, help me to not be proud because I'm so prone to it. I got this love affair with myself that is out of this world. The person I love the most is me. Dear God, help me. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Help me not to trip up myself and stumble. What a verse. One of the solutions on how to deal properly with my pride, if I'll give it to God, it's help you if you learn to pray. When you don't want to pray, why don't you get on your knees and tell God, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to pray. I know I should, but dear God, please help me. Because I got issues right now. It'd help if you were that real with the Lord, right? Instead of hiding it. God already sees my wicked heart. God says, be real with me so I can help you. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. God says, anything I do with pride never turns out well, because it goes before destruction. Everything in my life that pride touches falls in failure. Proud people who don't humble themselves to get saved can have the nicest house. They can have the best funeral. They can have the best memorial service, but their destruction is a burning fire that never stops. Pride goeth before destruction. Take your Bible and let's go to James. James chapter 4. Let's look at one more solution here. James chapter 4, back near Revelation in your New Testament. I should have shown you Psalm 119:21. It says, the proud are cursed. You say, cursed? When I allow myself to think I'm more important than I am, I bring a curse on myself. Psalm 119, verse 21. You're in James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The word resist, it means to strong arm. I've told you this before. But when God resists you, you know, it's like a little kid thinks he can beat up the big giant. And what's the giant do? He puts his hand on his forehead, and there's the kid. Right? He can't reach. Okay? When God resists you, He stretches out his hand because you're proud. He resists the proud and he strong arms you. And God says, get away from me. I don't want God strong arming me. Just the thought of taking on God. You're going to beat him? Is there any thought more foolish? I don't want God saying, until you get a hold of yourself, I don't want you in my presence. I don't want to hear you pray. I don't want to hear you talk. get away from me. God resisteth the proud. When I have to have the glory, when I have to have the attention, when I'm telling everybody, look at me, God says, get away from me. Then, notice this. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Aren't you glad to get the devil to run? All you have to do is tell him no. All you have to do is resist and he flees or runs. Look at the next verse. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. God waits for me to humble myself. Isn't that wonderful? God says, when you're tired of running the show and doing things your way, if you'll submit and come to God, God says, I'll meet you. But I'm waiting for you. God's not the one that has the problem. I'm the one that has the problem. I'm the one that's proud. Draw nigh to God, then he draws nigh to you. Look at the next verse. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Boy, when was the last time you heard a church preach on that? Most are like, hey, let's have a good time and let's... God says the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. I need to take time and tell God what I am, right? I need to admit it. I don't know how you come into the presence of a holy God without doing that. Then God says here, humble yourselves, here it is again, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If I'll just humble myself. I want to be careful. I don't exalt me. I don't lift me up. If I'll just stay humble and walk with God, God lifts me up. God will lift you up. But don't you try to lift you up. Don't you forget who you are before God. I'm a law-breaking, hell-deserving sinner saved by the grace of God. I don't deserve anything I have. If I can keep my position right, God will lift me up. God will exalt you. But don't you lift you up. Tonight, I wanted to look at properly dealing with our pride. God can give you all the grace you need if you'll just humble yourself. We're all proud. But isn't it wonderful, in James 4, there's no excuse to live in pride. I can have God's grace anytime if I'll just humble myself before God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth tonight. I wish, please. I know this is a big topic. We looked at it this morning. We've looked at it tonight. And Lord, I know